The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
From a nightclub, the end of the world. It's Michael Rupert again. Welcome back. It is Sunday, October the 9th, 2011. Got a big show tonight. We're going without a commercial break at the bottom of the hour. We expect to be talking some really important stuff. You know, it's funny the ways in which we experience collapse. I walked out of my house today. I'm renting this beautiful house on 2 acres in Sebastopol. We got our garden going. We got a greenhouse in. You know, we're eating our own food. We got chickens. And across the street, there's been this it's a really big house. It's a mansion, and it's on about 3.5 acres, and they got cows and sheep. We actually bought a sheep from across the street, and it's butchered, and we've eaten parts of it, and it's delicious, and it's living close to the land. And I met the people over there. They were very nice. I've been inside the house, extremely well furnished, abundantly clean, been in the storage areas downstairs, a lifetime full of stuff down there. And I walk out of my driveway today, and there's an open house. And apparently, the people who live there have moved out. And so I walked around and found out that the house was on sale for $893,000. Who can do that now? No explanation of what happened or why, but when I had spoken to the people who lived there, they said, you know, we really want to be close to the land, and this is the most perfect spot I've ever found. So I don't know what happened. But if the numbers are correct of what's happening in the world out there as the global economy continues its explosion, more than likely, just according to the stats out there, somebody's company failed. They couldn't swing the mortgage payment. And it's kind of funny because I had this thought that, you know, that's a reminder that you can't live with a foot in both worlds. And I don't know what happened, but that's the way a lot of collapse is going to play for most of us. Things are going to just disappear, and we won't know why. So that's something to prepare for. That just kind of caught me up. We're going to do a brief overview before we go to our guest tonight about what's happening in the world. And there's two headlines that we ran within the last couple of days, two major stories at the Collapse Net in our breaking news section. One was Zero Hedge, who has been so good and with rapier-like wit, and they've been just like right on the money throughout this whole thing. They're real troopers. They trudge right along. But they had a story. BBC does it again. Quote, in the absence of a credible plan, we will have a global financial meltdown in 2 to 3 weeks. Well, that quote didn't come from Zero Hedge. That quote came from an IMF advisor, International Monetary Fund advisor, being interviewed on BBC. So not only is the clip there, but there's this very clear statement. And then there was a headline from Britain's The Telegraph. And Britain's The Telegraph and The Guardian have been two excellent papers for quite a while. They don't acknowledge infinite growth as the enemy. But the Telegraph headline from October the 7th, quote, financial crisis, the worst the world has ever faced. So, and as we, you know, listen, just over the course of the last 72 hours, as many as 15 major European banks have been downgraded. It looks like one, Dexia, is already DOA. And everything is lining up for a 2008 was a picnic compared to what's coming next week. Not next week, the week after. And this is not my prediction. This is what we are bringing to you on CollapseNet from financial experts, the ones that people take seriously all over the world. And I think everybody senses how serious this time is. And that's one of the reasons why this show is so important tonight. I have to mention this quickly. I have a dear friend, Robin Westenra, down in New Zealand, the much battered New Zealand, and he wrote me tonight and asked if I could mention an environmental disaster that appears to be imminent there in New Zealand. It's in the Bay of Plenty. There's apparently a shipwreck and a major oil leak, and corrects it's going in, and I wrote him back and I said, you know, man, I'm doing the best I can, but I don't think I'm humanly capable of reading one more disaster story now, because we're at the point where we're all going to be stuck with our own disasters. Telling people about them is not going to help much. But if you are in New Zealand or if you are in the area, go check Robin's blog at Robin Westenra, westenra.blogspot.com. You can find out more there. A housekeeping note. I got an email, a great email from a listener, Joan Malerick, about Fred Hampton. I challenged on a quote last week. It's one of the best quotes I've ever heard in my life, and boy, does it apply, and boy, is it relevant to tonight's show. Fred Hampton was a Black Panther Party member in Chicago. He's one of the best leaders the Black Panther Party had. He was extremely articulate, a Malcolm X-type articulate. And the quote was, we get answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. And I attributed it to his son, Fred Hampton Jr. That was a mistake. I want to correct that. Fred Hampton was naked in bed, was, you know, wearing his underwear in bed with a woman when the police shot him how many times? 17, 18, 27 times. Was his fiance, and she was 8 months pregnant at the time that Fred Hampton was shot. The child she delivered within weeks of the shooting is Fred Hampton Jr. Now he was assassinated by the Chicago police and the FBI, not the CIA, but I've long established the CIA was having direct contact with Chicago PD at the time. That was a matter of public record, thanks to a couple of senators named Frank Church and whoever the other one was. Anyway, all of that being said, we are at a point where very few of us know what the economic, military picture in the world is going to look like in 24, 48, 72 hours. It is clear to all of us who understand what collapse is, who have been following the great work of so many people that we bring to you on CollapseNet, this is big. I mean, this is truly the biggest financial crisis the world has ever faced, and it is one from which there will be no recovery. In that context, we have a movement in the United States of America called Occupy Wall Street, called 99%, called Occupy Everything, called by many different names. Scary. It is scary good because of the power and the energy that is being focused within this movement. And what it seems to be pulling out. And before I bring our guest, Dave DeGraw, on tonight, I have to say that if you followed me on CollapseNet for any length of time, and especially in my video updates, how much I have pled and begged for nonviolence in the face of no matter what kind of provocation was thrown out. And that provocation is being thrown out all over the country. We're bringing you videos from everywhere. Showing NYPD running down Occupy Wall Street movements with mopeds, or, you know, with motor scooters, of assaults with pepper spray and batons, and we brought you one very compelling story of police in San Francisco this week who went into a protest. I don't know how many people were there, but they surrounded and corralled the protesters, separated them from their camping gear, from every piece of equipment they had. They called in Public Works and stole all of the property of these people. And there were reports from people who were there that said some of the police were crying as this happened. These are enormously stressful times. And one of the things, as much as let me say this about nonviolence, too, before I bring David on, because I'm not going to be doing a lot of talking throughout the rest of the show, but there's a couple of things I got to talk about up front. The longer that we, those of us on this side of the line, those of us who are trying to bring an end to an absolutely corrupt, evil, murderous economic paradigm, that the longer we can refrain from responding to these deliberate and obvious attempts to provoke violent reaction, the more powerful we become, and the weaker they become. Because once the battle is joined, and I believe it may have to be joined physically at some point, that's kind of been the way the planet has worked for its history, because at the point that that the gloves come off and the fight begins, both sides are going to be kind of locked at whatever strength and support they have at that time. It's just something I observe. But this is an amazing thing to watch. And I absolutely salute anybody who has anything to do with this movement. And we're going to find out how that has played out with being nonviolent. That being said, the other issue that I hear about Occupy Wall Street is that they haven't issued a list of demands. And I have to tell you right now that where I am, I think that's probably very smart, because by next Tuesday or Wednesday, the list of demands they would present is going to be a lot different than they would have presented on Friday. David DeGraw is a New Yorker. He has a wife and two infant kids. He's an independent investigative journalist who's been featured on Zero Hedge. He's been on with the infamous Max Kaiser, who's been a guest on the show, and he's been a guest right here on Progressive Radio on Gary Null's show. He is articulate. He is a terrier. He has been doing stuff like I used to do it from the Willis. He's been getting right in everybody's face with all the corruption. And months ago, Dave's website, Amped Status, A-M-P-E-D, status.com, was taken offline for several weeks by cyber attack. Anonymous, the group Anonymous came to his aid and set him up with a less vulnerable system, and this is the Amped Status rallying cry. Enlightened citizens unite. As long as the economy and government are rigged by the top economic 0.1%, we will all lose. It is time to unite and fight back. Amped Status is part of a decentralized movement that has two key goals. One, break up the too big to fail banks and Federal Reserve. Two, end the system of political bribery, campaign finance, lobbying, and revolving door. Unless we organize and take decisive action on these two core common ground issues, we will all suffer the consequences of our inaction. Dave DeGraw, many welcomes, big one to the Lifeboat Hour.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate being on with you.
Okay, you heard my comments up front about the nonviolence.
Right.
Please tell me how that's playing out, how it's communicated, because I'm really impressed by the restraint that I'm seeing shown.
Right, well, everyone is definitely committed to nonviolence. You know, you get some, you know, there's a lot of different people coming in and out, and you don't know if there's a provocateur among the group or anything like that, so that's always a risk. But, you know, everyone who's been at Liberty Park from the get-go is, you know, strongly committed to nonviolence, even in the face of, you know, getting beaten down with police sticks and pepper sprayed. You know, everyone just kind of, under attack like that, would just kind of sit down and you know, say, you know, if you're going to beat me, go ahead, beat me, and we'll get it on camera, and you'll look horrible on camera if you do that.
How's the morale in New York right now?
Oh, it's incredible. It's, you know, Mike, just let me say this real quick. You know, I haven't been doing too many interviews just because there's so much work to be done.
Yeah.
And trying to dish out the interviews with different people. But, you know, I chose to do the interview with you because I have a ton of respect for you. Mike, you probably don't even remember this, but in your From the Wilderness days, we've exchanged emails quite a bit, like maybe 10 years ago. And I know Stephen Marshall, and he made your video, Crack the CIA, back in the Guerrilla News Network days.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, we still miss GNN these days, but...
Well, you sure are inspiring, and there have been a couple of times when I've watched you out there speak in your mind, I said, this guy kind of reminds me of me when I was young and full of it, full of the good stuff.
Yeah, anyway, also, let me just say, you know, we've all been so overwhelmed, and, you know, everyone's pretty much exhausted at this point. So to any listeners out there, even, you know, people in the press or anything who are trying to get in touch with people and they're somewhat frustrated, just please understand that everyone at Liberty Park is so incredibly overwhelmed, and, you know, it's like 1 minute, you know, we're getting pepper sprayed, the next minute, you know, the press is all in our face with questions. The next minute, you know, there's, you know, we have actions happening now in over 1,000 cities, okay? I mean, this is like such a massive effort. And the thing is, you know, it's totally decentralized.
Yep.
It is just, you know, tens of actually hundreds of thousands of people now taking it upon themselves to fight back against their own financial oppression, against the financial oppression of their family.
Right.
That's what this movement is built on. There is no centralized leadership. It's just people taking it upon themselves to fight back and to defend the people of the United States.
When you say a thousand cities, is that in the U.S.?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. See, we can't even keep track. This is what's so wonderful about this.
If you go to OccupyTogether.org, you could see every city that has people taking actions in it. And, you know, as this decentralized movement goes, the Occupy Together site was basically two people who designed a couple of, you know, great 99% graphics.
Right.
And, you know, so we all like what they did, and they wanted to cull the different actions that were happening. And the next thing you know, they're getting millions of hits at that site.
Oh, that's so encouraging. Now, let me ask you this, because I've watched every possible video that I could get my hands on, especially the ones involving confrontation or violence, but many more. And in some, I see people saying things like, I actually saw one person say infinite growth on a finite planet is not possible, and boy, my eyes rolled back in joy for that. But then I have seen people on and say, we want pensions back, we want jobs back, we want the economy back. And so I try to put myself in the shoes, because I am a writer, of writing demands and all that, and I wouldn't want to be in that position. And I'm thinking...
Well, that's why there hasn't been any demands yet.
Okay.
I mean, basically, I think not having demands... You know, I was a proponent of having demands from the get-go. But now as it has evolved, that was a mistake. You know, I think not having demands really opened it up to people, because, you know, this is about people fighting back against their own personal financial oppression. So when you come out and you say these are our demands, you know, maybe those are intelligent, you know, specific demands that help represent the 99% of the American people. But, you know, people aren't going to necessarily agree with those specific demands.
Right.
So it really is a process in which, you know, people come out, they get together. I mean, Liberty Park is the most, I mean, talk about a melting pot.
Sure.
You know, you have Ron Paul supporters talking to socialists about, you know, how we can decentralize the banking system. I mean, these are the conversations that are happening. The most, you know, progressives and libertarians are coming together. I mean, it's amazing. It's unbelievable, Mike.
Well, that is so encouraging. So,
but everyone gets the fact that our country has been taken over by global financial interests.
Yes.
You know, everyone gets that. And everyone realizes that we have to come together as a country to fight back against what we consider a occupying global financial oligarchy.
Let me ask you, what percentage of people you think are aware of collapse, are aware of the fact that this is not a cyclical event, that this is
something... I think most of them.
Good.
I would say. I mean, people get it, Mike. You know, even if they don't understand the specific details of the financial crisis, you know, a lot of these people, if you walk up to them and you talk about collateralized debt obligations and derivatives, and they'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong, though. There are a ton of people there that know fine details of that. Okay? But, yeah, some of them, they don't understand the details, but they see what has happened. They've been struggling in poverty, and they've been living paycheck to paycheck, you know, desperately struggling to make ends meet. For the past 3 years, they see it. Well over 200 million people are living paycheck to paycheck right now.
Mm-hmm.
People know the struggle.
Let me ask you this: Is there anything that Occupy Together needs, is looking for, and where can people find out about that, and how can they assist?
Well, everyone's kind of pitching in their own way. Occupy Together, it seems like they have their act together. I know they've been getting a lot of help from different technical people to support the site. But really, what we really do is we just encourage people, it's a decentralized movement, you know, it's leaderless, you know, take action on your own. Everyone listening to this knows that there's something that they're good at. Mm-hmm. It's something that they can do, mm-hmm. so they should do it. You know, now's the time. We have the momentum. It's swinging back in our favor for once.
Man,
so now's the time for you to do something.
Trust me, all of next week, man, the momentum's going to be building mightily with the economic news that's coming.
Exactly.
Which is unifying. So I'm, you know, my head, because I've been to a lot of demonstrations. I'm really old, you know, and I've been to... You know, the last one was like 300,000 people in San Francisco over Iraq. But there
right.
must be a lot of education going on. There must be a lot of leavening, a lot of networking, and that's got to be very energizing.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, walking through the park, it's you bounce from one in-depth conversation about, you know, healthcare, another in-depth conversation about, you know, different areas of the economy. I mean, there is tons of education going on. You know, like I said, though, it's so hard. It's like, you know, I'm in a rowboat in the middle of a tsunami here. So to try and make sense of everything that's happening around me is very difficult.
And you're trying to eat a slice of pizza at the same time.
Right?
You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's not possible.
Right.
I was going to ask this question, and I thought, well, maybe it's a dumb question to ask. But what's coming? You guys don't make announcements, so we just kind of wait and see how this. We're all watching this together.
You know what's coming, Mike? What do you want to come next? Go out and make it happen. That's what's coming next.
Got it. I love it. I've had two people write in emails
already. Oh, wait, real quick, one quick point. You know, I heard you talking about Fred Hampton at Black Panther Party. You know, Black Panthers were just amazing. You know, Huey Newton and Stokely and Carmichael. But yesterday, the new Black Panther Party came down to Liberty Park, and, you know, they were talking it up with people down there. There is just all sorts of stuff happening down here.
One of the reasons the old Black Panther Party was so dangerous was that they were going after money and they were going after banks.
Oh, they knew what was going on. They knew the score.
And needless to say, about every dirty trick in the book was thrown at them, including framing members like Geronimo Pratt and Daruba Bin Wahad for murders they didn't commit. I was on a tour once with Bin Wahad. Okay, so now we watch what's going on, and it's an amazing momentum. Where and how do you think the Occupy Together, Occupy Wall Street movement has been most effective?
Raising awareness, giving people like hope. That most of the people who come up to me and, you know, express appreciation, they always say, like, you know, it's about time, you know. I mean, this gives us a chance, you know. Things are obviously, it's a very desperate situation. It's late in the game, but you know, this is inspiring people. It's helping to raise awareness, because there's a lot of people who get their news through television, and you know, Mike, they're just so propagandized.
Mm-hmm.
They're personally financially struggling. But because of the propaganda system, it's so isolating to people. So they kind of have this personal, isolated struggle, you know, economic struggle. But now they see that, you know, people are out there and they have the same problems that they have. So it's very infectious, very inspiring. I mean, up until now, I view this as a very successful PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the start. I mean, obviously there's plenty of work that needs to be done. But just letting people know that there are millions of other people who are feeling the same thing and are ready to fight back.
I've had two emails come in. And by the way, if you want to ask Dave DeGraw a question tonight, feel free to call in 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly, as a number of people already have, at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Two people have written in, and they have asked about Anonymous, and the question announcement that Anonymous was going to remove, I believe it was, the NYSE from the New York Stock Exchange on Monday, tomorrow, which is Columbus Day. It's a banking holiday. And Anonymous has turned up in several reports. And you may not know the answer to this, but how does Anonymous fit into all this?
Well, you know, look, Anonymous is kind of the model for the Occupy Wall Street protest, because Anonymous, Occupy Wall Street, I see, is the offline version of Anonymous. That's my own personal opinion, my own personal take on it. I can't speak for everyone else. But Anonymous is this decentralized online, it's really, you got to call it a concept. It's not necessarily a movement. You know, people have very strong feelings on how you frame Anonymous, but you know, it's a decentralized movement. So it's thousands of people online taking it upon themselves to take action. So, you know, if the Anonymous who hacked into H.B. Gary and revealed that the Chamber of Commerce and Bank of America were trying to smear journalists, that's one group within Anonymous, and the Anonymous who, you know, took on Scientology, that's another group within Anonymous, and the Anonymous who attacked PayPal, that's a different group in Anonymous. It's decentralized. So, I mean, you never really know what they're going to do next, just like you don't know what Occupy Wall Street's really going to do next.
And that's,
it depends on people taking action upon themselves.
So that's the conclusion I came to, because there were a couple other stories from attributing to the real Anonymous, saying that the statement about taking the NYSE off was not the real Anonymous. And what I realized, because of my background in intelligence, we're through the looking glass. All we can do is sit back and watch, which is kind of relieving. Okay, we have some people wrote in. This is a long question. I'm going to see if I can, I'm not going to read this. Somebody wrote some demands. This is somebody who went to, name is Jeff, to Indianapolis, and he said, we demand the following. Now, I have no idea whether it's official or not, but maybe you want to hear it. It might be news to you. One, the immediate legalization of alternative forms of currency, including gold, silver, and the return of Abraham Lincoln's greenback. That's pretty good. Two, the immediate reinstitution of Glass-Steagall. Three, a dismantling of our current system of fractional reserve banking, not fractal. For a world where it is not possible to make money from nothing other than money. These things must be floating around like everywhere.
Right. Well, this is the thing, you know, there are no official demands. There's been so many people who have been issuing their own demands, and a lot of people in the press have been confused by that, and they're just latching on to all these random, you know, proposed demands or people who, you know, just put out their own demands. But again, you know, at this point in this stage, I mean, certainly within the next few days, I'm fairly confident that you're not going to see so-called quote-unquote official demands.
Right.
I think what you're going to see is many demands put forth. You're going to have, you know, different occupied area. Occupied Las Vegas might come up with some demands. Occupied San Francisco might come up with some demands. Occupied, you know, you name it, Seattle. So I think you're going to see this kind of barrage of all different demands coming out. And I think as time goes by, whichever of those demands catches on with the most people and gets the most attention and support will eventually be the demands that we're going to put forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just a prediction, but
I also think that circumstances are going to dictate the demands pretty much.
That's true too.
As the situation continues to deteriorate.
Right.
Joshua writes in, my question, you say that you want us to build lifeboats and think different while also saying that we need to kill the beast before it kills us. This is my position, i.e. war with China. Well, that's where you're wrong, Joshua. Aren't those contradictory? Direct action affects history and can even often hurt one's chance of surviving change. But inaction can often allow tyrants and bully boys to ruin the very things that make life worth living. Well, let me answer that quickly, and Dave, you can take it wherever you want to. No, I'm not talking about killing the beast China. I'm talking about the infinite growth monetary paradigm. China is not the problem. fractional reserve banking, compound interest, and fiat currency is the problem. And until those problems are addressed, this is my position, nothing else is going to matter. That's the beast that has to be killed, because I can guarantee you that that if we did not live in an infinite growth monetary paradigm, we wouldn't be worried about a war with China anyway. It's all about now China trying to pay their debts and not having us pay ours to the bankers. Anyway, sorry, David, did that stir anything for you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I look at this, Mike, in my opinion, you know, forget nation states, all right? Nation states went out when, you know, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International was running, you know, all sorts of covert operations back in the early 90s. But, you know, nation states are pretty much obsolete. We live in a global economy. And what this is right now, what we're doing, is part of a decentralized global rebellion against what I would call a neoliberal aristocracy. Because, you know, there are... It's not a conspiracy theory to say that the global economy is run by the International Monetary Fund, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, you know, the ECB. I mean, these people control the global economy. This is a centrally planned global economy. And, you know, the same people who robbed the United States, they also robbed Egypt. They also robbed Tunisia and Greece and Ireland and, you know, Spain. I mean, these are the same people robbing everybody.
And that's exactly what's going on. And until you see the problem that way, you're really not addressing anything else. We have a message from Twitter. Randtheman85 on Twitter states that there is a Peter Joseph, who's been a guest on our show a couple times, is working with the leaders of the movement on demands. We've seen some stuff from the Zeitgeist movement. What can you tell us about how they fit in all this mess?
You know... I you know, no disrespect to Peter at all. I think he's, you know, a strong force, and he has great ideas that he puts forth. But, you know, Mike, everyone and their mother is trying to work on demands.
Got
know.
It.
I mean...
I'm not. I've stayed out of it.
Well, you know, I mean, put your demands forward, Mike. You know, the more the merrier.
Everybody knows what my demands are. Until you change the way money works, you change nothing. I don't need to say it again. Everybody's tired of hearing it.
But ultimately, you know, if we win and this actually plays out, you know, obviously monetary reform is going to have to happen. That's you know, a common theme that I see. Even, you know, through people who disagree, you know, might come from a libertarian perspective, might come from a progressive, socialist, conservative, I mean, you name it. The common theme among people that I see is that they are essentially decentralists. You know, they want to, there's such a concentration of power, and everyone wants to break that concentration of power. You know, you have this iron law of oligarchy where, you know, you start out with something of a free system, and then as time goes by, power and wealth and resources get consolidated into an oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone wants to break up that concentration of power and decentralize, you know, power and certainly the monetary system.
And we're one way or another, it's going to happen. We hope that doesn't happen before we're all homeless, before we're all hungry, before we're all sick and cold. Bill writes in, sends an email. There have been countless cases where undercover police infiltrate protests to try to incite violence. It's called agent provocateur. What is being done to prevent this now? How do you recognize that? I know those turkeys are out there.
Well, let me tell you something. As someone who has been hit with pepper spray and beaten with batons, you know, on the front lines of these protests, there are always new faces, but, you know, there's definitely people who've been there from the get-go, and we've grown comfortable that they're there. You know what I mean? There's been a trust that has been built. I can speak, on Thursday night, we were going to march on Wall Street, but the cops blocked us off a block away on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tense moment because people wanted to move forward to get to the stock exchange, but the cops were containing the march. Now, as this was happening, we were trying to get a consensus of what people wanted to do, you know, about the situation. And as this was happening, two guys I've never seen before rushed the barricades and pushed it into the cops. And this was the barricade that most of the cops were right behind. So,
and what happened?
Then the cops opened up with pepper spray, started swinging their batons. I also noticed that those two guys who hit the barricades first, they never got hit with pepper spray. They never got hit with the baton.
Yeah.
So, we've been going through videos trying to identify these guys to see, you know, maybe they were provocateurs. And certainly we saw in D.C. recently, yesterday, that there were provocateurs that ended up getting the D.C. protesters pepper sprayed at the Museum of Air and Space.
Well, that's we expect that to happen. And again, I just have to salute the tolerance and forbearance of everybody out there who has given their heart and soul to this. We've got all kinds of activity. Joan, who wrote me the wonderful email about Fred Hampton on the line, has some wisdom about Black Panthers. Joan, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Joan. What do you want to say?
Well, you know, you're talking about what it was really all about, what the moneyed interest government was most afraid of with the Panthers,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's all social movements, actually. And that was that the Panthers had their social programs, their breakfast for children's programs, their free health care clinics, their clothing programs, their shoe programs for kids in the South who were picking up parasites.
They provided a great alternative. That was important. They provided an excellent alternative to the dominant power structure.
There were competition.
And that's what scares the moneyed interest government, is that it shows people can do things for themselves. The only reason we had the Breakfast for Children's program is because the Black Panthers were so successful. And there's actually an FBI memo that says you have to get rid of the the Black Panthers Breakfast for Children program.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to co-opt anything out that is good and useful and brings the people together.
Or is competition with their profit flows.
Pardon? Yes,
or is competition for their income streams, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Joan, thank you so much for that email. I got a whole bunch of things stacking up here.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Listeners can tweet us tonight at PRN underscore radio with questions and comments. So we got a tweet line open, too, and my board operator is keeping me well on top of that. Robert writes in, boy, David, you have no idea how popular you are. I saw in your video that you mentioned that tomorrow was a banking holiday. To be clear, it's only a commercial holiday. The NYSE will be open tomorrow. See link. On a side note, tomorrow many people will be on PTO. What's PTO? So it's a good day as any to try this as a technical support. Will thinner than typical. I have no idea what that means. But NYSE is going to be open tomorrow. Okay, this is from Brian. David, I went to Occupy LA site today at City Hall. This is real, Mike. I think this is it. All groups, ages, races were represented. Your name was spoken by an ex-Marine at the General Assembly spot. Thank you. Everyone heard it, and I donated a copy of Rubicon to the library tent, Peace and Love. Well, that was just personal for me, but, you know, I'm feeling the enthusiasm here. You know, this really is serious. Matthew writes, David, if you got anything on those last two ones? Cause I'm trying to get through the list here.
You know, a lot of things, I guess, but just real quick. Yeah, you know, it's such a diverse group of people down there, what they said about Occupy LA,
mm-hmm.
Certainly my experience in New York. I mean, you couldn't get a more melting pot, diverse group. I mean, not only all ages, you know, colors, races, and I mean, all occupations. I mean, the totally different walks of life. I mean, we have so many people there who have come from all different parts of the country. I mean, it's amazing. And what your caller was saying about the Panthers creating the breakfast program, you know, people are coming to the park who are so desperate in poverty because they heard they can get free food, Mike. I mean, they come there and they stay there, you know, because they are down with the cause. You know, they absolutely desperately want to fight back. But, you know, just the fact that we have food for them there, it, you know, it, it it inspires them. And
this,
this
is really feeling very, very, very powerful. One of the scariest documents I ever read, and this is where I'll act as an elder passing on, was it's from a national security law book, which from the second U.S. Court of Appeals. It was a decision in the case of Hobson versus Wilson, which had to do with FBI COINTELPRO during the 60s. And, of course, Martin Luther King was killed not because he was a civil rights activist. He was killed because he had led the civil rights movement successfully and then became an anti-war activist. And with the government throwing everything it could then at the movement, it was disclosed in these documents, U.S. Second Court of Appeals, 1984 the decision was, that the one thing the government feared more than anything else was an alliance between blacks and whites. And the government, the FBI's number one priority was to prevent, in other words, to foment this division. So when I say that Occupy Wall Street's given me goosebumps, it's because what I'm hearing you say is there's lots of color in the crowd, and there's lots of everything else, and that's the one thing that scares them the most.
Right. I mean, you know, you're sitting there, and the new Black Panthers are talking to, you know, these middle-class white kids, you know. I mean, it's amazing to watch that, really. But, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
We have a caller, Jen from Minneapolis. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Jen.
I'm here.
What you got?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My main question is just regarding the fairly lack of centralized organization of the movement. I think that's something that really concerns me because I see it as having incredible potential, clearly, with how many people have been following it. And I'm just wondering, just for comments from the organizers about, is there any plan to try to centralize that, to keep these people connected after that they've, you know, met at the protests and they've been there, just to keep something going so everyone can still keep in contact and keep this going?
Yeah, there's definitely efforts being made to definitely keep people together, working together. I mean, it is tough. I mean, you know, being that it has started as a decentralized movement, I hope we stay a decentralized movement, but it is very tough also being organized. But everyone is really working triple time to, you know, organize as best as possible, given the fact that there's just, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people now taking action. So, but yeah, you know, making sure people keep working together moving forward, that's absolutely happening. I mean, look, if you yourself went out to a protest, I mean, you would certainly network with all the people there and want to stay in touch with them, you know. So, again, it's decentralized, and people say, you know, I'll go there and I'll meet people and I'll network with those people and I'll keep working with them. You know, everyone there wants to keep working and keep coming out. I mean, everyone, you know, you see new faces every day, but you know, at the same time, those faces keep coming back, and they keep bringing friends with them.
Let me jump in here and mention that that after this show tonight, our exclusive interview with Dave DeGraw, some of the core organizers and voices of Occupy Wall Street will be coming up right after the Lifeboat Hour tonight when our show ends at the top of the hour. And also stay tuned to PRN for full hourly updates. Everybody is trying to keep everybody, you know, to get as much good information out about the movement as possible. That's what we're doing at CollapseNet, and we're struggling. I should say that as Collapse takes a bite, we've had more than 1,500 paying members write us very tearfully saying that they could no longer afford their membership, and what we've done is we've carried them. But we're hurting to stay afloat, and we all need to support ourselves now, certainly support PRN and support this movement. So stay tuned. I'm really glad to see PRN stepping up this way, but I would have expected nothing less from Gary Null. Matthew writes in, what steps is Occupy Wall Street taking to make sure that large groups that join the movement or donate large amounts of money don't steer the message, good question, of the movement
Great
in other
question.
Directions or make attempts to water down the overall direction of OWS. P.S. Proud to say Occupy Salt Lake City has successfully occupied Pioneer Park in downtown Salt Lake. Thank you, Matt. Go ahead, Dave. Run with that one.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, everyone's, concerned about that, or at least most people are concerned about being taken over by a larger organization. And I worked with a working group of people, and we proposed a statement basically that said that, you know, we invite endorsements, you know, we want people to, you know, be part of the movement from whatever political perspective they're coming from. But, you know, they have to understand that this is a decentralized movement that is built on consensus. You know, their voice is going to be just as important as, you know, any of the other people taking part. You know, it's an issue that we're fighting with. But look, you know, I don't really see how a decentralized movement can be co-opted right now because, you know, even if one particular group all of a sudden comes in and tries to start throwing their weight around.
Like Move On?
Exactly, exactly. You know, if they, well, Move On endorsed, they haven't really necessarily had any input in what we've been doing.
Okay.
But yeah, and you know, there's a lot of groups like that. But, you know, this is not, if Move On comes in, all the libertarians down there and Ron Paul supporters and you know, progressives who are sick and tired of Move On bowing to the Democratic Party,
right,
all their voices get really loud, you know.
Good.
What I mean? So there's this kind of like built-in defense mechanisms to being co-opted because it really, it's such a diversity of voices. When one particular group comes in with one particular agenda, that means that, you know, 75% of the other people there are going to start screaming their heads off.
All right. We have another caller. We have Matthew from New York City wants to ask something about the Wall Street location. Matthew, you're there.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, man. Good.
Good. You guys doing well? Okay. Well, this is sort of a little bit of research I've been doing in the last half an hour, but this is also coming from a lot of different sources that I've been getting, and I would like to ask both of you, maybe you can sort this out, give me a little information behind it, but none of the banks that are being protested against are actually located on Wall Street. In fact, Lehman Brothers
right.
is on 7th Avenue. Bank of America is located in North Carolina, Wells Fargo. San Francisco. Citigroup is at 399 Park Avenue. There's actually a really nice deli around the around the corner from there. Same thing with J.P. Morgan Chase. That's at 47th and Park.
Right.
What needs to be going on is protesting in Midtown, and there's not even a soul there. There's nothing but halal carts and people buying food on a daily basis. And I know it's a holiday tomorrow, but not an official one. But still, I don't see anyone taking any action up there. And what concerns me, aside from that fact, is, and this is sort of the social studies mind behind how I operate, but when you have a lack of central leadership and you have a lack of a plan, a lack of demands, you open yourself up for having another Hitler step in. And believe me, with a lot of, if I can pardon my French, pissed off people, especially my age, I'm 26, wandering around trying to find who's going to lead you in a direction, you're going to have someone crop up like that. And if I can just speak to Alex
okay.
Jones for a little bit. I have nothing to say about him personally, anything like that.
But
I watched the video
question,
that you posted on CollapseNet. He did come in with a PA system. He was making his statements or whatever. But you have people like that throwing in a hand grenade like that, and it's disrupting all of the organization that
okay.
goes on.
I'm going to have to cut you off there just as a matter of time. I can't give you the whole show, man. We're down to the last 10 minutes, and we got other people. I got your point. David, do you want to take what he said thus far and run with it?
Yeah. His points about, you know, a lot of the financial companies being in Midtown and, you know, spread throughout the United States is a very important one. We've actually are working on a map right now that should be coming out within the next day or two, which highlights all the different locations throughout New York City where these corporate headquarters are, and you know, specifically Midtown, because we feel that presenting that map to people, they'll know exactly where to go, because it is very important that people understand where these corporate offices are,
mm-hmm.
and that we get there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Bank of America, I believe you said the corporate headquarters in North Carolina. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, look, we got Occupy North Carolina going on, so they'll be there. I mean, we've had people across the country at hundreds of banks within the past week. So we're getting there. You know?
Here's and here's where I disagree with him about. I am not worried about a Hitler taking over this thing at all. It's like herding cats.
Right,
the difference
exactly.
in Germany was you had a single, absolutely consistent ethnic population, single language, and it was a contained, if you will, at the time, national economy, completely different set of circumstances. He came up and ran for office. OWS ain't running for office. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that a Hitler could take this over.
No way. It's such a diverse crowd. If anyone really has too much of an agenda or a voice, I mean, the majority of the crowd is just going to shout them down. I mean, you know,
exactly.
I mean, these people are the last people who would be endorsing any kind of fascism. That's exactly what everyone's against.
And they will certainly recognize it, and that's why demagoguery. We could do a minute on Alex Jones if he's worth that much time. is not going to play out. We have a tweet from Ms. Belay wants to know from Twitter, what do you suggest we do to prepare for the collapse next week, sweetheart? No offense, but if you haven't started preparing by now. Right now, all you want to do is just make sure that you have food, water, you know, the standard emergency supplies in your house, and get along on cash. Get along on cash right now, because it looks like there's some serious bank runs underway, and especially one that I kind of conclude is happening at B of A with their website being down so much. Alex Jones, let's do that, because you're not afraid to take on anybody. Man, I've been bashing that lunatic publicly for a while now. But it's amazing how the people, maybe you see this more than I do. From my perspective, Dave, I see a lot of people who don't get that there are actually people on the opposite side posing as our friends. But you seem to stand up to that real good. Do you consider Alex Jones a threat?
I certainly do now. You know, I haven't listened to Alex's show much over the years, but I've always known that he has at least said on air that he was against, you know, this global financial oligarchy and
right.
against the Federal Reserve and things like that. And over the past 3 years since the financial crisis, I've been trying to organize protests against the Fed, and we've had quite a few building up to this whole Occupy Wall Street. And, you know, we are a Liberty Park. We're closer to the New York Fed than we are the stock exchange.
Right.
So I was trying, you know, through people like Max Kaiser, who I have great respect for, and I've been on his show a lot, I've been trying to get to Alex for a long time to support protests against the Fed, and he would never want to do anything.
Of
you know,
course.
He would just basically blow me off.
Yeah.
And then when this Occupy Wall Street blew up, all of a sudden he starts saying that it's, you know, George Soros front group and stuff. You know, meanwhile, I'm like, you know, Alex, what are you talking about? I've been trying to get you involved in this for years. And then now, all of a sudden, that it's taken off.
Don't
like
waste
some
your time,
Soros
brother.
Front group. And he ignores the fact that we have people occupying feds all throughout the country.
He's
you know,
not on our
like,
side. He never was. And you know, I think his stuff is wearing real thin right now.
Let me just say this. There are a lot of people at Liberty Park that are fans of his show. And when he started saying that it's all Soros and it's a front group, AstroTurf, all his fans, I made it a point to talk to people down there about that, just, you know, to see what they were thinking. And, I mean, all his fans were like, you know, he's gone nuts. What is he talking about?
Exactly.
I mean, they were all jumping ship like that. Because, I mean, these were people who, you know, have been on the front lines, and they're getting pepper sprayed and beat. And, you know, they like Alex, but now Alex is saying they're Soros puppets. I mean, that doesn't fly, you know.
Oh, he's been doing that for a long time. Okay, let's, you know, it's fun to beat him up. I consider him pretty defenseless anyway. Poet writes in, this is a question for both of you. We're down to the last 4 minutes. What are your thoughts on what the Zeitgeist movement urges and a demand of resource-based economy? The only sustainable economy that can function of any kind has to be a resource-based economy. That simple. But Dave, please go anywhere you want with that for the last few minutes.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What are your thoughts on what the Zeitgeist movement urges, which is their demand for a resource-based economy?
It's very interesting. You know, I haven't spent extensive time researching what the Zeitgeist movement is all about, but I know that there's a lot of people who've been participating in these Occupy Wall Street protests that support them. A lot of people who've taken part on AMP status, and a lot of our readers also support them. So I don't want to really speak to it because I don't understand it well enough, but mm-hmm. I do know that a lot of people who I have respect for seem to like it. So
we have one last call that just came in. We have time to get to it. Tom from Hawaii, are you there?
Hey, Mike, I'm here.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, I'm out in Hawaii building my lifeboat with my girlfriend. My question to you is this. I'm wondering if there's enough momentum from this movement that's happening right now down on Wall Street, and we could get some demands up there. Let's say, hypothetically, the number one demand would be to fix the money system, as you've been preaching over and over again, eliminate fractional reserve banking, eliminate compound interest, and eliminate fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wanting to know from you, what do you think that transition would look like? What are some other alternative systems? I mean, have you put a lot of thought into this? And I want to mention it. Oh, go ahead.
I'm real clear on this, Tom, that we will never have an answer to that, and if we have to make a plan for how we're going to make the transit, we're going to be dead before we ever get to implement it. The only thing we can afford to do now, the only thing we have time to do, is to first stop infinite growth and see what we've got left and how it works. This is not going to be, collapse is not a situation where it's going to happen and there's going to be an equal replacement to change the system somehow, to make this transition. This system has to come down first because it will not let go otherwise.
Right, and then my question to you would be, how do you feed people tomorrow and the next week and the next month?
Excellent question. And Dave, you can jump in here too at any time. Quickly, what I've been doing now since forever is telling people to start growing their own food. The point of, I don't approach it from how are you going to feed people. It's clear now that the way money works, infinite growth, is starving people in addition to food shortages and environmental degradation, droughts, heat waves, everything else that's going on. The way money works takes more food out of people's mouths faster. But we have to stop that system first. Otherwise, nothing else is going to make any difference. We've been given the okay to run a couple minutes over. So, Dave, you want to go with that a little bit?
First with his monetary demands. If this movement is successful, all those issues have to be addressed.
Yes.
Part of this worries me because, you know, you get people who have, you know, like, who are really strong on getting rid of fractional reserve banking. Okay, and I'm definitely, you know, with those people.
Right.
But you know, if that's not the first demand that you hear, or it's not within the next month or whatever, you have to understand that that is part of the problem that we want to fix. So if you don't hear that as a first demand or within the next week or month, you know that if this movement's going to be successful, fractional reserve banking is going out the window. I mean, that's what I hope people understand.
The key thing, I think, in Tom's question is, and it's something that I've wrestled with as long as I've been at this, is there's still crops someplace, there's still a tractor someplace, there's still, you know, food in cans someplace, but if the monetary system breaks down, how does all that move? And that's kind of the $64,000 question. And I started to address that recently. I gave a speech in Portland, Oregon on the 10th anniversary of September 11th. And really what I realized was that without universal debt forgiveness, global universal debt forgiveness, nothing's going to move again. It is the service of the debt.
Right.
That is killing us. And all debt between persons and corporations, between corporations and corporations, banks or corporations, and governments and corporations, i.e. banks, all has to be wiped out. From that point, I'm quite confident that the human race will be able to figure out how to feed itself.
Right. Most, you know, one thing I've learned at these protests and just from being around all these people is that, you know, you'd be really surprised how innovative and creative people are in a desperate situation, how they can maneuver through it.
Yes.
You know, people tend to, like, say, all right, I want to know exactly step 1, 2, 3, and 4 of how we get out of this. But that's not the way really things work, you know.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's a process, and, you know, people will figure it out.
Some of the greatest military leaders of all times, and I'm talking like Genghis Khan, I'm talking like Sun Tzu, I'm talking like Napoleon, he understood that armies always fought better when he backed them into a position where they either had to win or were going to die.
Right.
And because that's when we... There's a line from an old movie called Starman with Jeff Bridges where he said, "You human beings are at your best when things are worst." That's always stuck with me.
Yep, I agree.
And clearly what we see tonight on the show, and I'm going to start to wrap it up, is that there is a lot of great stuff rising to the top. Dave DeGraw is only one example of many leaders that are emerging, stepping forth, and whatever word you use, that's what they're doing. That's the role they're fulfilling, although we all kind of look at our roles, I believe, as being of service rather than leading. Dave, if people want to follow you more, if they want to find out more about you, read your writing, see what you've done, how do they find out about that?
Well, my main website is ampedstatus.com, ampedstatus.com. I also have a blog site. I don't update it as frequently, but it is daviddegraw.org. But just real quick before we go,
sure.
I have to say, you know, all your listeners, I mean, they get it. They know the score.
Yep.
Okay? Look, we got some momentum going here. And, you know, I know it's late in the game and it's a desperate situation, but we got momentum going. If you're listening to this radio show, you know, get out in the streets, occupy a nearby place, whatever city you're in, there's other people there. You know, go to occupytogether.org. Find people in your area and get out there. We have to keep this momentum going.
This is a critical moment in human history and in my whole life, and I've been alive through the Cuban Missile Crisis, JFK's assassination, Martin Luther King's, Bobby Kennedy's, Kent State, 9/11, and I've never in my whole life lived in a moment or a time that is more fraught with energy and import than the time we live in now. I really want to thank Dave DeGraw for joining us tonight, for taking time out and away, and to share with us. Dave, you can come back anytime you want to, and I'm sure we'll be staying in touch to find out what's going on. I wish you and everybody here wishes you and everybody at the Occupy Together movement the best of luck, and thanks for being with us.
Mike, thank you so much. Much respect to you and all the work you've done over the years. Thank you.
Go have a piece of pie for me, will you?
I definitely will.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, everybody. That was a great show tonight, and I'm really glad we had it. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Life Hour. Keep track on everything on Occupy Wall Street at CollapseNet.com. We'll see you next week. Good night.